Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside Grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The Mother's Gift. I turn the pages of the book before me. There are centuries of history recorded here. There are stories of yesterday and today. And each is the story of a mother. As the rainbow brightens the clouds, as a flower graces the days of spring, so shall the mother of pure heart display her beauty in the book of time. Let us look now at the first page. Let us read first the story of her whose memory will last unto generations. For she will be forever the inspiration of all until the end of time.
Maria, gratia plena. Maria, gratia.
In the west, the sun dropped slowly over Mount Carmel. There were already shadows of darkness in the eastern sky, and between the majesty of the mountains, under the sky aflame with the glory of God's handiwork, lay Nazareth in Galilee. There, as the day came peacefully to a close, a maiden knelt in prayer, her eyes uplifted to the heavens. Suddenly, the air was filled with music, and a voice spoke forth.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
And the maiden's heart was troubled, but the angelic voice spoke on.
Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God.
And so, while the glory of the Lord manifested itself in the majesty of the setting sun, here, within this simple dwelling, an even greater glory shone forth from his hand. Here, in this humble place, the power of the Lord dimmed forever the sun, the moon, the stars, and a thousand other beauties of his own creation. For here was a soul filled with divine grace.
Thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
And Mary knew in her heart that this was the word of God. The sun dropped slowly over Mount Carmel, and the evening star appeared in the heavens. But here in Nazareth was the brightest star of all. She who would show the way to our Lord God by the light from her soul. Oh, sing to the Lord a new canticle, because he hath done wonderful things. Sing to the Lord a song of thanksgiving, for he hath given us to know the greatest mother of all time. And so I turn the pages of the book. Here are the names of many who look to Mary as the ideal to be reached. And among them is one called Helena, in the 3rd century after our Lord.
I was called Helena, and because I had learned of the one true God, I knew that only through him would true peace ever come into the hearts of men. And so I prayed that my son, too, might learn to believe. That was my thought as I listened to his plans.
Once my armies have crossed the Alps, the rest is easy. Nothing can stop me then. I shall rule the entire Roman Empire before many months have passed. Well, Mother, have you nothing to say?
My son, I have a question to ask.
Yes? What is it?
Why are you so determined to become the emperor?
Well, isn't that rather obvious? Certainly you know the weakened state in which Diocletian left his empire. This is an opportunity for a man with ambition to seize the reins.
Then it is only ambition that leads you to battle for an empire.
What more could you want to inspire a man?
You will fail, my son.
Fail?
You may win the battle, but you will fail as an emperor, like Diocletian and the others.
Have you no confidence in my strength?
The strength of any ruler is only as great as his spirit is filled with justice and charity. An emperor whose only thought is of ambition has neither of these.
Justice, charity, those are Christian terms.
And how I have prayed that you would come to know and love the teachings of Christ.
I shall win my empire and rule it by the sword.
Another mother once gave her son to be the salvation of the world. What joy would have been mine if you could have been the salvation of a people as the first Christian ruler of the Roman Empire. Hope is eternal if it is placed in the confidence of Mary's son. And so I went forth from my kingdom to the land of Galilee and Judea, and I knelt on that hallowed spot in Nazareth. Oh, Mary, you are his mother. Will you not guide my son to have faith in the cross, that he may bring glory to an empire in the name of Christ?
Bitter, even here where we're sheltered below this mountain.
Defeat is bitter, too.
What's happened to you, Constantine? Even your soldiers have observed how you've lost your ambition.
Ambition? How can you have ambition in the face of defeats and disillusionment?
But the battle isn't over.
For me, it is.
Surely you don't mean you'd withdraw the army now?
Why should I freeze to death here in the Alps? There's no hope of our getting any further. It's impossible. Go out and give the command. Instruct each division to turn back.
But your men are willing to go on.
I'm not. I shall never be the ruler of Rome. I know it now. This is the crossroad of my life.
Look!
Go on. Do
look
as
at
I...
the sky!
Listen!
Look! Look! Look at the sky!
Look! There in the sky. Why, it's a cross. And there's writing.
It is written in Roman letters.
Yes. In this sign, thou shalt conquer. It was my mother's last prayer that I could learn of the teachings of Christ to bring justice and charity to the empire. And I shall. I have come to the crossroad, but I know now which road I shall take. For now, truly, I have something worthy for which to battle. I will win, with the cross in my hand.
And so God gave the gift of faith to Constantine, whose mother prayed that her son might be the salvation of an empire. His reign was known forever for justice and charity toward all. Those Christian principles which his saintly mother, Queen Helena, taught him. I turn the pages again. The years roll on. I think once more of Mary, who heard the prophecy of Simeon. A sword of sorrow shall pierce your heart. But her silent answer was, "Thy will be done, O Lord." Now we come to the story of another whose heart was pierced with a sword. But in following the light of Mary, she placed her hope in the Lord's goodness.
That was my mother, Monica. What is there in a man that makes him so stubborn as to turn aside deliberately from the truth? For I think I knew in my heart from the very beginning that my mother was right.
You go from one pursuit to another aimlessly, from one philosophy to another. And in the end, you will be alone and desolate, for you will believe nothing.
Oh, leave me alone. I can lead my own life. Mother, I'm not a child to be tied to your apron strings.
Only a child plays aimlessly with one toy after another. The novelty of each thing wears off, because you had nothing of value in the first place.
But her words fell on deaf ears. I thought of my mother as a woman who knew little of worldly things, and so I followed wherever pleasure beckoned.
Come with us, Augustine. There are dancing girls in the gallery.
Dining waiters and coffees,
Augustine. Come, Augustine, come!
My life was filled with trifles. My wandering soul looked for contentment in the temporary pleasures of the world. And all the time, the voice of my mother rang in my ears.
You go from one pursuit to another, aimlessly.
What if I do? Are you to remind me of it all my life?
Augustine! Augustine!
And Antonius?
Augustine, you cried out.
I'm sorry, Antonius. I was thinking out loud, I guess. Yes, I was thinking of how sick unto death I am with everything in life.
Nonsense. You need a new interest. And why don't you study oratory here in Carthage? You know, you've got an excellent voice.
Well, that's all I have got.
Oh, no funds, huh? Well, that's easily remedied. Let me be your patron.
Oh, no, indeed not. I'm certainly not going to impose on your friendship.
Oh, don't be a fool, Augustine. Mark my words. You could become a great orator. Think of the power you'd have to sway people. Why, you might become a great teacher. And I would bask in reflected glory.
A great orator?
Uh-huh.
Yes? Well, even my mother would be pleased with that. But I could hardly expect my mother to be pleased with what I taught.
I heard you as I stood there with the crowd.
Yes? And what did you think of my speech?
I thought of the gifts God has given you. A voice to influence the minds of men. And a brain with which you could do great good or great evil. Oh, my son, how can you use those talents to lead men to doctrines of evil?
Now, just because they aren't your beliefs, Mother, you think they're evil.
Because I know that my beliefs are founded on truth, and yours are formed by pagans who have sought to adapt their teachings to their own evil ways.
Now, if I found happiness in teaching my ideas to others, they are the right beliefs for me.
But You haven't found happiness, Augustine. And you never will until you have the courage to look into your own soul and see how blind you are. Have you no thought of tomorrow? What lies ahead of you, Augustine? Think, my son, think, before it's too late.
Resolved never to see my mother again, I went from one city to another, always searching for something which I never seemed to find. Rome, the golden city of the empire. I was soon tired of its pleasures. And then Milan. There I won the most coveted award, an appointment to the chair of rhetoric. Surely, I told myself, here my ability was recognized. But even this seemed to bring me little happiness. Somehow, I felt more at peace when I walked in the beautiful gardens of the famous Bishop Ambrose. And upon one occasion, the bishop himself found me there.
You understand, sir, that I am not in sympathy with the beliefs of Christians.
Yes, but surely, my son, that will not prevent you from enjoying the beauties of my garden.
Oh, no, indeed. The truth is that I sometimes feel more at peace here than in any spot I've ever been.
That's possible. To me, of course, the explanation is simple. Here, you are very close to Christ himself, in the little chapel here in the garden.
You don't expect me to subscribe to that, sir.
Oh, no. That is merely my belief. Tell me, have you ever studied the teachings of Christ?
When I was a child,
I see. Then in that case, as a man of education, a teacher, you would certainly wish to acquaint yourself with the life and works of the one who influenced the world so greatly, as part of your intellectual background.
I never thought of it that way before.
You read Latin and Greek?
Oh, yes. Yes, in Carthage I studied both.
Good. Then I shall entrust you to some of my most precious manuscripts.
Oh, you're very gracious, sir. I shall take good care of them.
You mentioned studying in Carthage. I met a most remarkable woman this morning from Carthage.
There are many remarkable women in Carthage.
But not another like this one. Of that I am certain. For 17 years, she has prayed for the conversion of her son.
And in all that time, she has never given up hope?
Invincible faith like hers, my son, is not to be crushed. You see, she has faith in God and in her own son.
And do you think there is hope of her son being converted?
Yes, Augustine. I do.
You call me Augustine?
Yes, my son. And when your mother left me this morning, I bade her keep her faith. Surely it is not possible that the son of that mother's tears should perish.
She had followed me to Rome and to Milan, and I had not known. She had sacrificed her home, her friends, her few cherished possessions.
Why did you do it? You've given up everything for me.
No, Augustine. I have given up nothing because you are near me. You are more important to me than anything else in the world.
Mother, let me do something for you in return.
Will you come to church with me, as you did when you were a child?
Even though I don't accept your beliefs?
You will be with me in God's house. At least I will have that.
How serene life appeared on that morning when I accompanied my mother to church. Again I felt as I had in the garden of the bishop. The world seemed far away. A sort of peace came into my spirit. But I could not accept the beliefs of Christianity. There was too much to be sacrificed if one was to be a Christian.
A Christian must give up too much of worldly pleasure.
Pleasure? Oh, Augustine, how can a young man with a keen mind like yours think only of today? What lies ahead for you?
That's what my mother said one time.
Have you ever thought of the future? Christ came into this world and sacrificed his life to save you. You, Augustine. And you talk of sacrificing pleasure. Oh, my son, listen to these words and think. Mary gave us her son. He was her life and all her love. But she gave him to us that we might have life eternal. Think, Augustine. Think of life eternal when you talk of pleasure.
And so I walked alone in the garden. And I thought of many things. I think I even prayed. For I know the words came to my lips. O Lord God, give me to know what is in my heart. Suddenly, there on the bench beside me, I saw the scroll which the bishop had left. Something impelled me to turn it over. And there before me, I saw the words of Paul. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the light of God's grace poured into my soul.
And so the heart of Monica was made whole with joy. As Mary, after her sorrow, understood the glory of the resurrection, so Monica rejoiced in the redemption of her son Augustine. She walked in Mary's light and had confidence in the Lord. I understand. I am ready. I devote myself to serve. Those words might well have been in Mary's heart that day long ago in Nazareth. And now I see them in the pages of this book. For they were engraved also on the heart of Blanche, the Queen Regent of France in the 13th century. Blanche devoted her life to rearing a child who would serve his people well by understanding their problems. They say of him now that he was the greatest king of medieval France, loved by the poor and respected by his enemies. Even when he was small, his heart was filled with admiration for his queenly mother.
My mother was a great lady, not because she was a queen. Anyone can be a queen, but because she was good and kind. She loved the poor people and was very fair to everyone. That was what she tried to teach me.
If you are going to be a good ruler, Louis, you must remember that your kingdom has both poor people and rich people, bad people and good. So you must rule justly for all of them. And believe me, dear one, I would rather see you an honest peasant than a selfish king.
So you see, I know I had to learn to be a good king if I were to make my mother happy. That's why I listened very carefully. Whenever anyone came to court to complain, I sat very quietly beside my mother and listened.
The land was given to me, Your Majesty, by the late king, your husband. It is definitely mine.
It was forfeited to me in payment of a gambling debt.
The debt was paid in money afterward.
But the land had already been forfeited.
Gentlemen, well, stop this bickering.
Yes, Your Majesty. Well, madam, is it necessary to have this child present while we discuss the merits of the case?
He will be your king when he comes of age. It is not too early for him to learn to know his subjects.
Very well, madam.
Tell me, who lives on this land?
No one at present.
Because you evicted them when I took it over.
And where did these people go when they left the land?
To tell the truth, I really don't know.
They were your tenants, and you, as lord of the land, were responsible for their welfare. But you don't know where they went.
Oh, I'm sure they found a place to live.
But you put them out of their homes.
And you, sir, when you took over the land, of course, put it to some good use.
Well,
in a year when the people of France have been starving, you produced something for the good of your country?
Well, I intended to, when the rights of the land had been settled permanently.
You selfish, thoughtless creatures. At a time when hundreds of my subjects suffered from famine and plague, you have been so concerned with your own petty bickering that you have thought only of yourselves.
You forget, madam, that we have great estates to manage. We've many other things to think of. You've forgotten that we are rulers, too, in a smaller way.
Forgotten? No, I have remembered. I remember the words written first in Hebrew and then in Greek, the words of the Holy Scripture. Have they made thee ruler? Be not lifted up. Be among them as one of them. Have care of them. And when thou hast acquitted thyself of all thy charge, take thy place. Yes, I have remembered that you are rulers of large estates
And with your honor goes responsibility.
But, Your Majesty, surely we are responsible. I shall be very happy to do whatever you recommend, if the land remains in my possession.
The tenants were treated properly while they were my tenants.
Neither of you is fit to own this land. You, sir, who gambled with the dwelling place of your people, and you who wasted the chance to put it to some use, you are not worthy, either of you, to possess the gift which was given by my husband. This land will revert to the crown, and it will be used for the good of our subjects who will share in the bounty of the kingdom.
After the men had left, my mother spoke to me.
Tell me, my son, what have you learned today that will help you to be a good and wise ruler?
Well, I learned that I will always have to think of those who have no one to protect them.
Yes?
And if you're an important person in the world, you have many duties to others.
Responsibilities. Yes, dear. But you will always remember all that you've learned today if you keep in your heart the teachings of Christ our Lord.
I will try to do that, Mother. Do you know, I learned something else today.
Oh?
I learned that I have a very wise and good mother.
I understand. I am ready. I devote myself to serve. These were the words engraved on the heart of Blanche, whose son, Louis IX of France, became a king noted for his wisdom, his learning, and his piety. Pages of the Book of Time record the names of many more, stories of yesterday and today, and each is the story of a mother who walked in the way of Mary, whose soul has shone forth through the centuries with the light of divine grace. In the twilight of the evening almost 2,000 years ago, she was given to all of us through the wisdom and glory of God. She will forever be his mother and ours. O sing to the Lord a new canticle, because he hath done wonderful things. Sing to the Lord a song of thanksgiving, for he hath given us to know the greatest mother of all time.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymore for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, minister to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymore. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymore, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.